Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. We invite you to stay tuned for our message.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast again. This is Elder David Wise here with you today, and we're thankful to share in this ministry and this partnership with Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church. We would love to have you come out and worship with us if you're in the North Mississippi area, and Clear Springs Church is outside of Mabin, Mississippi, and Sulphur Springs is outside of Caledonia, Mississippi, and we both meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., and then we have a joint worship service in Starkville, Mississippi at 200 West Garrett Road at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night. So we would love to see you. We'd love to have you. Email us, contact us. You can find that information at clearspringspbc.com website, and we're very thankful to have you tuned in the program here with us today. We'd like to study together the biblical account of creation from the book of Genesis and the scriptural defenses for the literal account of that, the literal creation account from the book of Genesis, and how we can defend that against all the wiles of the devil that has attempted to undermine that. So we hope that the Lord will bless our study of that topic together today, and we'll bring that message for you right after we play this song.
Where
Happy Lord's Day again, and this is Elder David Wise here with you. We would like to continue our study of defending the biblical account of creation from the book of Genesis. And now we would like to enter a portion of this series as we're focusing on some specific pitfalls of what 1 Timothy 6 would call science, falsely so called. And there's been great confusion and there has been great deception by Satan and the kingdom of darkness in casting doubt on God's word and casting doubt on the literal creation account from the book of Genesis. And this is summarized to the Holy Spirit, and the Apostle Paul was warning against this. And just notice the precision of this language that's so timely for us today, even though it was written thousands of years ago in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So first of all, this is introduced here by the Holy Spirit as oppositions of science falsely so called. Now, science is observable, it's repeatable, it's verifiable. The scientific method, if you remember middle school science, right, is you follow a set of procedures, right? You put these chemicals into this thing, and it has this reaction, and you can witness the same thing happening that any other person would witness happening if they followed that same set of procedures. That's science. That's called the scientific method. It's observable, it's repeatable, it's verifiable, and anyone can follow the same set of procedures and see the exact same things happen and reach the exact same conclusion. And the things that have deceived so many of God's children, particularly evolution, that we'll deal with specifically in a later message, the carbon-14 dating and radiometric dating and isotope dating, those are not science, especially evolution. Evolution is just simply a theory. It's not observable, it's not repeatable, it's not verifiable. And there's some degree of benefit to the dating methods, but I think that we will see in the later message, we will see they're unreliable. They don't approach the examination of those rocks with the right assumptions, and they are inconsistent at best. But I think evolution is the most clear example of science falsely so called. Somehow Satan has been so crafty that he's given evolution the air quotes definition of science. Evolution is not any resemblance of science. It's simply a theory. And it's a theory that is in direct contradiction to the Word of God. And we see here the Holy Spirit is warning us thousands of years ago to beware of oppositions of science falsely so called. Why? Because some professing have erred concerning the faith. And how many of God's children have been deceived to err concerning the faith because of science falsely so called, because of something they learned in a classroom or something they learned in a university that's telling them that the Bible is not reliable, the Bible's not true because of air quotes, science falsely so called. And again, evolution is not any resemblance of science. As we've noted for you before, the answersingenesis.org team with Ken Ham and all of his team have great resources in all of this. And there's articles all throughout there. We have a study guide that we are producing in conjunction with this sermon series. And that study guide and these sermons are on clearspringspbc.com. And we have links to specific articles on Answers in Genesis. And they deal with this in a very scientific way. They have actually scientists writing these articles. They're not lay scientists like me that get my information from other people. So Answers in Genesis has fantastic information on all of this. And there's, again, direct links to those things in our study guide. But another thing that Answers in Genesis did that this survey has been so much on my mind, not just in this study, but throughout the last few months since I've read this, a 2025 survey, and this is published on answersingenesis.com. If you do a few searches for a 2025 State of Theology Survey by Ligonier Ministries. You can probably find this on Answers in Genesis through that search. This is the 2025 survey of self-identified evangelicals. And the four questions that they would answer yes to as a self-identified evangelical is, first of all, the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. Now, they go on to say about you accepting Jesus as your Savior, and all those who trust in Christ have the opportunity to be saved. And that's not right in a theological sense. But these people that have self-identified as evangelicals, they believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, they believe in His resurrection, they believe in their own way, though not exactly right, that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. But notice the very first question that they answered is, the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. But then you get into the percentages of the answers of the people who self-identified with these four questions. 19% of the self-identified evangelicals in this 2025 survey affirm that modern science disproves the Bible. So the same people that started out in their identification questions saying, I believe the Bible is the highest authority, one out of every five says modern science disproves the Bible. Now that's a very stark statement. And I think if it was worded differently, I think that the percentage of Christians that blend evolution, that blend science, falsely so-called, that blend thousands and millions of years into Genesis 1 or hold to a gap theory or something like that, I think that the number is probably well over 50% that do not hold to the literal 6-day, 24-hour creation account that we are defending in this series. Now, I think that's connected, and I think most likely if the question was asked differently, instead of modern science disproves the Bible, I think if it was asked differently, do you believe the Bible is in alignment with modern science? I think probably well over half of Christians would probably answer no. And here's part of the reason I say that, because also in that same survey of these self-identified evangelicals, 64% of those believe that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God, and 53% agree that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. So our main focus is this morning is that as Satan has chipped away at reliability in many Christians' mind on Genesis 1, he's also clearly chipped away in the reliability of Genesis 2 and 3. And what does Genesis 2 and 3 establish for us? The doctrine of original sin. And what happens when the doctrine of original sin is chipped away? Well, that's how 64% and 53% essentially believe that man's really good by nature. And I think most likely, if the question was asked differently, instead of the stark statement of modern science disproves the Bible, it's still wild that one out of every five people that said, I believe the Bible's my highest authority, answered yes to that question. But I think the percentages is probably between 53 and 64% that most Christians would answer that I do not believe that the world was created in 6 24-hour literal days. Now, as Satan does in his deception, he'll get you to think that this is not that important. It's okay for you to believe in evolution and believe the Bible. No, they are in direct contradiction. Direct contradiction. And if Satan has gained a foothold to cast doubt in your mind on the reliability of Genesis 1, he has a great foothold, a great advantage to cast doubt on Genesis 2 and 3. And is that not exactly what we see in those percentages? 53% and 64% of self-identified evangelicals do not believe in original sin. Why don't they believe in original sin? It's because they don't believe that the Bible means what it says in Genesis 1. And therefore, they don't believe that the Bible means what it says in Genesis 2 and 3. So here we find the problem of science falsely so-called. And what was the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul warning against? That if you don't stand against oppositions of science falsely so-called, there are going to be many people that err from the faith. And that's exactly what's happened, right? They've erred from the faith, not just in rejecting the literal Genesis account, but also they've erred from the faith in affirming the doctrine of original sin, and other core points that are taught in Genesis 1 to 3. And again, this is the deception of Satan. Oppositions of science, falsely so called, and how many of God's children have been deceived and erred from the faith? Why? because Satan undermined the reliability of God's word in their mind in one area, and therefore he thinks he can undermine the reliability of the entire word of God. Remember, true science, not science falsely so-called, true science will always align with and confirm the word of God. In a later message, we're going to deal with many, many, many specifics of the scientific accuracy of the Bible. The Bible is always hundreds, sometimes thousands of years ahead of the commonly accepted true science of the day. And you give science a few hundred years and it might catch up to the wisdom and the precision of the Bible, you see? So you need to have reliance that the Word of God is reliable. And when it says 6 24-hour days, the evening and the morning were the first day, day 1 through 6, you need to have confidence that when it says the evening and the morning were the first day and the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth, that is exactly what it means. It means the evening and the morning. It means a 24-hour period. So let's look quickly at core doctrines in Genesis 1 to 3 that are compromised if we allow science, falsely so-called, to taint our belief in the reliability of Genesis 1 and in the reliability of God's word as a whole. The most obvious, glaring problem that's highlighted in these percentages of well over half of these self-identified evangelicals believing that man's really good by nature is the doctrine of original sin. Well, where did death come from? You know, this idea that things had just been dying and dying and dying and things were getting better and better and better and natural selection was improving the species over millions of years. Well, what does that mean? That means that there was death before sin. Where did death come from? Death did not come from natural processes. Death came as a direct result of sin. When God was done with his creation on day 6, he looked at everything that he had made in those 6 days, in those 6 24-hour days, and he said it was good, and it was very good. God was very satisfied with what he had done in his creation. And what did he tell Adam on day 6? Genesis 2 zooms into day 6. He tells him of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not surely eat, for the day that eatest thou shalt surely die. In the day that eatest thou shalt surely die. And what happened in Genesis 3? He ate of it and he died. He died spiritually to fellowship with God. And then you have all of these curses. Why is it that thorns and thistles come up in this world instead of plants that are healthy and prosperous? Why? Because of the curse of sin upon this earth. Why is it that women have pain in childbearing? Egregious travail of pain. Why is that? It's because of sin. But principally, death comes from sin. So Adam died that day. But now, as the federal head of all of mankind, the only thing that he can produce is a dead in trespasses and in sin sinner. You know, God, on day 6, God made man in his own image. But then when Adam had children, it says that he had children in Adam's image. So who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Well, the answer is not one, right? So Adam is not clean anymore. He's unclean. He's a sinner. So therefore, what's the only thing that Adam can bring forth? An unclean sinner. And again, the Bible makes this so simple. There is no confusion over this, that Adam died in sin and all of his posterity died in sin, and there's no ability for us to recover ourselves from that fallen state. You know, most of Christianity says, you've got to do something. You got to believe. You got to pray a prayer. You're in a burning building and you just got to run out. Well, the problem is you're not in a burning building alive with the ability to run out. You're dead in trespasses and in sin. You're not drowning in the ocean and Jesus is offering you a life preserver. You're dead in trespasses. Where do we get that from? We get that from Genesis 2 and 3, right? We get that from the core teachings of the Genesis account. Romans 5. This is summarized in Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, For all have sinned. You know, we have the summary of total depravity in Romans 3. There is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. Why? Because death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Then you have this long parenthetical statement describing this in much greater depth. We'll skip to verse 18 for time's sake. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And what's being taught in those verses is federal headship. Federal headship. So we have death as a result of sin. Death did not come. There was no death. There was no death in any of creation until Adam sinned. Before Adam sinned, there were no carnivores. They were told to eat of the herbs. There was no command to eat even meat until after the flood in Genesis 9. So where does death come from? Death does not come from natural processes. Death comes as a result of sin. And when we get total depravity right, when we get original sin right, the rest of the doctrines of grace make perfect sense. But we have to get total depravity right. And we have to understand, man is dead in trespasses. He's not hurt. He's not injured. He's not sick. He's not malnourished. He doesn't have a little bit of good in him. Man's not born innocent. And 53% and 64% of these self-identified evangelicals are not in alignment with the Word of God. Man's not born innocent. Man is born a sinner in the eyes of God. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come in the world to save sinners. So we do not compromise original sin. We do not compromise that man is dead in trespasses and in sin. And therefore, our only hope is God's grace, is God's election, is God's predestination and salvation by the sovereign grace of God, not by our obedience when we have no ability to, when we are dead in trespasses and in sin. God is the source of all life. And we see that in natural creation, but that also teaches us spiritual lessons. You know, God is the only reason that there is life in this world. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And since God is the only source of life in natural creation, he's also the only source of life in spiritual creation. It's not up to you to come unto God and to say that I want to be a child of God. I want to go to heaven. You can't do that. Why? Because you're dead in trespasses and in sin, because you are the posterity of Adam as your federal head who plunged you into original sin. Okay? So you don't have the ability to come unto God unless God gives you spiritual life. So the only source of natural life is the power of God, and the only source of spiritual life is the sovereignty of God in regeneration. Man was made in the image of God. We weren't the result of natural selection of the animals. It was made in the image of God. And also, God made it very clear, Genesis 1, verse 27, God created male and female. Male and female is not an assignment. Male and female is not an opinion. Male and female is not a feeling. It's a matter of chromosomes. It's a matter of your XX or an XY chromosome. And Jesus affirmed this in the New Testament as well. Mark 10 and 6, from the beginning of creation, man made them male and female. So all this craziness over multiple genders and transgenders and binary and all this stuff. No, God made them male and female. And again, if Satan has cast doubt in your mind on the creation account, he's also cast doubt on the literal words of Jesus that there's only two genders. And then also God said in Genesis 2, the standard of marriage. And marriage is between one man and one woman for one lifetime. There is no such thing as marriage if there's not one man and one woman for one lifetime. If two men choose to have a civil union, you know, that's their decision, and it's a wrong decision according to the Word of God. But that's not marriage. That's not a biblical definition of marriage. God defined the definition of marriage in Genesis 2, and it's that a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage is one man and one woman for one lifetime. And obviously, how do you know if one's one man and one woman? Because God set two genders also in creation. So science is observable, repeatable, and verifiable. These things that we'll dig into in depth in future messages, they're not science. They're not science. They're science falsely so-called. And so many of God's children have been deceived by these that have caused them to err from the faith. And we want to equip you to be ready to answer these things, to be ready to answer this confusion and this deception, and to evaluate it for exactly what it is, which is just simply the deception of Satan. It's not science. It's science falsely so-called. And you need to be reminded, and you need to validate in your mind that the Bible is always reliable. Original sin is true. Death comes as a result of sin. Original sin is true. Man is dead in trespasses and in sin by nature. There are only two genders. Marriage is one man and one woman for one lifetime. And where do we get all this? We get all this from the validity of the truth of Genesis 1 to 3. And we can believe that. We can trust that. Why? Because God said it. God said it in His Word. And we can trust that, and we can rely on that. In future messages, we'll dig into some specifics of science falsely so-called, particularly Darwinian evolution and carbon-14 and isotope dating. We hope that you can come back with us in future messages as we dig into those things to, again, equip you to defend the biblical account of creation from the book of Genesis. May God bless you this Lord's Day.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Gospel of Grace, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. For contact information and to listen to messages online, you can visit our website at clearspringspbc.com. Our program is also available as iTunes podcasts under the title The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Tune in next week for another Gospel of Grace message. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonder.